Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
We want to look at the kingdom code of conduct for the kingdom army of God. God has got a kingdom army. That army is wanting God's kingdom to come on this earth. We have the visible kingdom army, which is made up of a body of believers. They form the kingdom army of God. Their objective is to bring the kingdom of God down on this earth. And we have the invisible kingdom army of God, which is made up of angels, and their objective also is to bring the kingdom of God down here on earth. If you read the book of Daniel chapter 4, you see that you come across watchers, and their aim is that God's rule will be among humanity on this earth. So that is what they are about. We share a common vision, a common objective, both the visible and the invisible army of God, because the kingdom of God is an integrated kingdom. It's not a divided kingdom. Hallelujah. Anywhere that God is ruling, he rules over a compact kingdom. It's not a divided kingdom. He doesn't operate like that. That is why Jerusalem should not be divided, because it is the city of God. God is the king, and he doesn't rule over divided cities. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 4 verse 17, the Bible says that this decision is by the decree of the watchers, and the sentence by the word of the holy ones. The watchers are angels. The holy one is referring to angels, holy ones. In order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whoever he wills, and sets over it the lowest of men. This one is concerning Nebuchadnezzar's second dream, where he was cast into the forest to become, live like an animal, And the Bible tells us in what we just read, look at verse 16. Let his heart be changed from that of a man. Let him be given the heart of a beast. And let 7 times or 7 years pass over him. And he said, this decision is by the decree of the watchers. And the sentence, that's the sentence that was put upon Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king on the earth, is by the word of the holy ones. And the Bible says their reason. It says that in order that the living, that's the human beings on this earth, may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he wills and sets over it the lowest of men. So this is the objective of the invisible army of God. They are watching. They are wanting that the rule of God comes on this earth. And people who do not acknowledge God, like Nebuchadnezzar, in his arrogance, he is able to abase. He is able to reduce to nothing. So that what? In order for the living, that is humans, and even living circumstances, to know that God rules in the kingdom of men. So that's the aim of the invisible army. They want humanity to know that God is king, that the rule of God comes on earth, not the rule of Nebuchadnezzar, not the rule of any other power. It is the same thing that the visible army, which is the body of believers, it's automatic. In some nations, once you are a citizen, you are in the army. You are trained to be in the army, like in the state of Israel. Once you are a citizen, you have to have military training. It's compulsory. Once you are a citizen, you are there. It is the same with the spiritual Israel, what we call the church. Once you are a believer, once you are a son of God, you are automatically in the army. Hallelujah. You have to be in the army. Wow. in the visible army of God, whose aim is what? To bring God's kingdom to visibility on this earth that everybody may know. Now, this kingdom army has a code of ethics. The visible army, they have a code of ethics. And that is what one of the things that I'm going to share with us today. A code of ethics is just talking about the way you have to conduct yourself as a soldier in God's army. Hallelujah. Now, what is an army? An army is a group of soldiers who have a common goal, and so they mutually support each other at all costs. It's a group of soldiers. An army is a group of soldiers, and they have a common goal. Like we have the visible army and the invisible army, you know, humans or believers and angels, they have a common goal. And so they mutually support each other at all costs. The key thing is that it is done at all costs. Okay? It's very important. That is what teamwork is all about. It is about enjoying honor together and then what? Having shame together. That is how it is supposed to be. Teamwork is about enjoying honor together and then shame together. That is how God wants his army to operate. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 26 teaches us that one. That if one member suffers, all the others suffers with it. If one member is glorified, all the others enjoy with it. That is how teamwork is supposed to be. So we want to look at the royal principle, army principle of loyalty. The royal army principle of loyalty. You know, one of the most important qualities of a royal soldier that we believers are, you know, is loyalty. God has made it in such a way that the rules of publicly or the rules of spiritually engaging the enemy is that you should have somebody watching your back. Don't ever forget this. The rule is that you should not attempt the devil alone. Never do that. You should have somebody who is watching your back. This is very important. This is very important. That is why Jesus Christ always sent a minimum of two people on any mission, because that is how the rules of engagement is like. You must have somebody watching your back, somebody who is with you. And it is the same principle, you know, code of conduct we have to use today. You can be so brave, you can be so powerful, you can be so anointed, you can be so holy, but you don't attempt anything for God alone. Hallelujah. You have to get somebody to watch your back. So loyalty is actually armor for the back. Armor for the back of the royal soldier. You know, if you read the book of Ephesians chapter 6, the armor of God that is presented over there covers the believer from head to toe. In fact, we have what? The helmet of salvation, right? We have breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth. What else do we have? Shield of faith, sword of the spirit, shoes of the preparation of the word, gospel of peace. But there is no armor for the back. Do you know that you are very vulnerable from the back? Yeah, very vulnerable from the back. Because somebody can reach your heart easily from your back. The heart is on the left, right-hand side of your chest. Now, if they don't get you in front with a shield of faith, they can get you from the back. And it goes straight into the heart and you are gone. You see how dangerous it is. God doesn't give us an armor for the back. Loyalty is our armor for the back. Hallelujah. And it is so crucial. This principle of loyalty is so important for the royal soldier, especially because the royal soldier knows that the devil is defeated. And the devil knows that you know that he is defeated and Jesus has conquered him, you know. So he will not try and approach you from the front because you will know him straight away. You see? So he will try to approach you from the back. He will try to get at you from your back. The reason is that once you know that he is defeated, he is not going to attack you from the front. He will try to get to you from your back. I hear that is how bears attack. Bears attack from the back. Lions attack from the front. Yeah. Because they are brave. They feel that, no, they can conquer you and all that. So they will come straight at you. But that is what I hear. That bears, they attack from the back. You know? And that is how come somebody in the royal army of God, you know, shadow one in the Old Testament, like David, the reason he conquered the lion and he conquered the bear is because he conquered what was in front of him, the lion approaching from the front. And then he conquered his past because he had a very checkered past. He had a past that he will not be proud of, you know. And that is the way it is. We have to be able to conquer what is in front of us and conquer our bad history. What is trying to get at us from the back, you know. And loyalty is weapon for your back, so that your back is what? Protected. The devil does not attack people who know that he is defeated from the front. When I say from the front or attacking from in front of you, I'm talking about attacking you in an obvious way. He doesn't come to you in an obvious way. He doesn't try to defeat you in an obvious way. He will try to do it in a subliminal manner, in a manner that your attention is not there, like getting at you from your back. Okay? So you need to cherish this weapon or this armor of the royal army that we call loyalty. So when the devil tries to attack you from the back, do you know what he's trying to do? He's trying to weaken and use people who are familiar with you. Because as for them, they are not obvious, you know. Your enemy, everybody knows this guy doesn't like me. But those who are around you, those who are close to you, you know, they are the people that the devil will try to use in a way that is very subtle, after his own nature. His nature is that he's very subtle, you see. So what he wants to do is actually to weaken and use people who are familiar with you to get at you. Now, if you study carefully the callings of God, you will see that God calls us as individuals, but he gives us assignments that cannot be done without another person. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. He calls us as individuals. He calls Abraham alone. He calls us alone. When he's calling us, nobody is there. You get a picture? Nobody is there. But the assignment that he gives you in your privacy, you can handle it all alone. God often gives us work that can only be done together with other people. Otherwise, God will be bringing division. Are you aware of that? Yeah. But God always makes things say that no matter how good you are, no matter how perfect you are, no matter how gifted, triple gifted you are, you can't do it alone. He intentionally makes it like that so that we have care one for the other. Hallelujah. So that you will think about the other person, because without that other person in his prime, that other person, doing well, you cannot do that well yourself. That is why the idea of maybe being a local champion is very religious in itself. It's a very deadly and religious thing. You know, God, even God himself, he doesn't work alone. What is the picture of God that we get? Right from the book of Genesis, the Bible says, in the beginning, Elohim. That's the plural. Elohim is talking about the triune God. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. That's God, the triune God. God in three persons. They created the heavens and the earth. And then in verse 20 says, he said that let us make man in our image. Not let me do it. He says, let's do it. Let's do it. So God teaches us the value of this kingdom code of conduct we call loyalty or teamwork. Teamwork is very important. We need loyalty, which means simply faithfulness. It simply means dependability. We need it, you know, for the expansion and consolidation of the kingdom or the rule of God. Without it, the rule of God will be impaired among us. And Satan is going to have a field day looking at us, royal armies of God, and having a good laugh at us. But it is not going to be, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
The devil enjoys it when we turn against each other as fellow soldiers. Instead of getting together and fighting the devil, we fight each other, we throw arrows at each other, try to cut under each other, you know, we try to minimize each other. The devil has a field day, because then we are failed as God's royal army. That is why Galatians 5 verse 14 to 15, let's read that. What does it say? Galatians 5 14 to 15. It says that, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You get a setting of the whole thing. He's talking about love one another, you know, care for one another. And he says, but, that's the opposite. But if you bite and devour one another, beware, lest you be consumed by one another. In other words, believers, instead of loving each other and working as a team, they can do the opposite, biting and devouring one another. One preacher devouring another preacher. One man of God biting another man of God. Sometimes it's not devouring, it's biting. They are two different things. Biting one another. I hear that hyenas, they eat you whilst you are alive. I hear that they will just take a bite at you, tear your flesh whilst you are going, and they will be tearing it while they are eating you. It's not like they are trying to kill you and then they will eat you. They eat you whilst you are alive, biting you here and there. If we behave like hyenas, biting one another, so that you see that your brother is bleeding, your brother is not fine, your sister is not fine, the other church is not fine, the other believer doesn't look fine. It's like wounds all over. It's smelling, putrefying sauce all over the place. When we do that, the Bible says that be careful that you are not consumed. It's bite, devour, consume. You don't consume one another. Wow. So that should make us just be very careful in all that we do. Ask yourself, am I biting somebody? Am I devouring somebody? This is very important. Am I biting somebody? Am I devouring somebody? Have I consumed somebody? Consumed the person, and the person has used, maybe has just run off and gotten himself damaged. It should not happen to us, because we are what? Royal soldiers belonging to an army. We call it the kingdom army. Now, we have got two types of teamwork. Rather, let me show you something. Let me reveal Jesus in a certain way to you. You know, if you read the book of Matthew 16:16, Peter said that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Matthew 16:16. Never forget this. In fact, God has made it so nice. You know, Matthew 16:16. As for that, you shouldn't forget. Because 16 and 16, you shouldn't forget. It tells us about the church. You know, in Matthew 16, he said, I'll build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Because in verse 16 of Matthew 16, Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12:12, this one to you shouldn't forget. Because whereas Matthew 16:16 mentions Christ, okay, based upon which Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. 1 Corinthians 12:12 defines Christ for us. What does it say? 1 Corinthians 12:12 says that for us the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. So also is Christ. Wow! It's powerful. Peter says, you are the Christ. And the Apostle Paul says that Christ is one body, many members. If that is so, and you take the definition of Christ, one body, many members, that is just talking about teamwork, and you put it into Matthew 16:16, it's going to read like this, that you are, Jesus, you are one body, many members. And when Jesus heard that, he says, I will build my church on what you have said, that I am one body, many members. The church of God is built upon teamwork, is built upon one body, many members, or is built upon Christ. Hallelujah. It's powerful. Very powerful. That's how the kingdom church is built. It's built upon teamwork. That is why royal soldiers must understand teamwork so deeply. So deeply. We must look at every side of it. Not the traditional side of it. Not the religious side of it. Because there is kingdom teamwork and there is religious teamwork. Let me show you the difference. You know, Peter said, or Jesus rather said, Peter, this statement you made, that I am Christ, I am one body, many members, or I am teamwork. All right? Flesh and blood did not reveal it unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. Now, if the revelation of Christ, or one body, many members, is revealed by flesh and blood, then we have what? A religious teamwork. We have a religious understanding of Christ, or one body, many members. That is if flesh and blood does it. You know, the reason why Jesus Christ said that, Peter, what you have just said, that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, flesh and blood didn't reveal it. In other words, flesh and blood can teach you and reveal to you teamwork. If flesh and blood or human beings reveal it to you, then you have a religious team. But on the other hand, if teamwork is revealed to you by God Himself, by the Heavenly Father, then you have what? You have a kingdom understanding of teamwork. If you have a religious understanding of teamwork, that is where you have a religious church that is full of human antics and wisdom, like in running a secular company. Hey, it's wonderful. Sometimes we run things in the church like secular companies. Are you aware of that? Yeah, you can run it like a secular company. Why you say you have a CEO, you have this, you have that, you have that, you have that, you have that, you have that. Eh? And you run the establishment like a company in the world. And all the illustrations, it's like a company in the world. You get the thing? Illustration is that if I am the boss and you are the deputy boss and this and that and you are the messenger and stuff like that. Secular company. On the other hand, if your understanding of teamwork is from Christ, then you don't run it with human antics and with human understanding. I don't know whether you understand it if I tell you something. Will you understand it if I tell you, for example, that, can you handle it? It's heavy. But let me show you something. If you are a leader of a spiritual group, and there are other leaders in the spiritual group, You can call them what? Co-leaders. Is that right? You can call them what? Associates. You can call them assistants. These are all nice words that are used in the secular world. Not so. Yeah. So, in the spiritual establishment also, you can have the head, and then you can have the deputy, maybe as a co-leader, or assistant leader, or associate leader, and things like that. But the issue is that that co-leader is also a pastor. You understand that? That assistant leader is also a what? In actual fact, he's your fellow pastor. That's a spiritual one. He's your fellow pastor. You can look at him as a co-leader, a deputy, assistant, associate. But you see, those things, it gives you a certain picture of the way that the world system is run over into the church. But if you understand that your assistant leader is a fellow pastor, a fellow leader, your attitude will be different. Tojo, do you understand? Your attitude will be different. The way you relate to the person will be different, because you relate to the person as what? Your fellow. Because spiritually, you are a pastor. Spiritually, he is a pastor. But you call him assistant or associate. And that kind of calling and that kind of understanding can make you treat the person like the secular world would treat a deputy or an assistant. But the issue is that he is a fellow. Fellow. He's a fellow. He's not one of your sheep. He's a fellow. He's a fellow. You understand that? Wonderful. I'm teaching you about what? Team work. I told you it was going to be heavy, and you dared me. It's wonderful. So, what am I teaching you? I'm teaching you about religious teamwork and kingdom teamwork. Per the example that I gave you. If flesh and blood reveals Christ or teamwork to you, that's how you are going to structure your team, right? Deputy, assistant deputy, this one, this one, this one. And then the way that the world uses or sees assistants and associates is the way you're going to treat them. But if your teamwork is revealed by the Spirit of God, then you are going to build a kingdom church where your fellow leaders are fellow pastors, not sheep, not one of your sheep. In the church, you can have sheep and you can have fellows. Not everybody in the church is what? A sheep, and is under you into inverted commas. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. Some of them are your fellows. So you can't treat everybody the same. You see, if you're a leader up there, because some of them, they are your fellows. Even Jesus had fellows. Even God has fellows. He said, let us make man in our image. Hallelujah. Wonderful. So that is Christ for you. That is kingdom teamwork, religious teamwork. I want you to have a kingdom understanding of these things. Because you know what? When the Heavenly Father in the heavenly kingdom revealed teamwork to Peter, Jesus Christ said, oh, now I can build my kingdom church, because the revelation is from my Heavenly Father. You know, it says about my Father who is in heaven. It's coming from the kingdom. That is why he linked quickly the church he was building to the kingdom of God. Say, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. It is given to people whose revelation, whose understanding of teamwork is what? Of the kingdom. Of the kingdom. Hallelujah. They can bring the kingdom of God down. It is the kingdom church that can bring the kingdom of God down. Because in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus was talking about the kingdom church. He was talking about one body, many members. The kingdom church. That has a link to the heavenly kingdom. That whatever thing is done in heaven, they will bring it down on this earth. Whatever thing that is on this earth, they can invite heaven into the air. That is the kingdom church. Because their revelation of teamwork is not a secular one. It is what? a spiritual one that informs the way that they are loyal to one another, the way that they work as kingdom soldiers, as a team, being faithful, being dependable to one another. Hallelujah. Now, Christ is the anointed one. It is only, listen very carefully to me, it is only when we get the kingdom revelation of Christ that the anointing of God will rest upon his church. Yeah. The church is a very powerful institution, but our power is gotten by our teamwork, our kingdom teamwork. That's where our anointing lies. That is where we have the anointing flowing. The Christ are realizing the Christ of God. Hallelujah. So if we want to see Jesus Christ among us, we want to have the full stature of Christ, we must understand kingdom teamwork, or have a kingdom version of one body, many members, or teamwork. It is with this understanding that when Jesus Christ came on this earth, his first strategic assignment was to form an apostolic group or team. Wow! His first strategic assignment was to bring some people together and call them his team. His team. Wonderful. And if you read John 17 verse 4, he gave a report to God that he had finished forming the Christ. And he did it by emphasizing the need for teamwork or unity. Jesus Christ so clearly said that the world will believe and receive God's love when there is Christ or teamwork. Let's read it in John chapter 17, verse 23. John 17, 23. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Look at that. Jesus says that when he is in his church and we are in him, that the world may be made, that they may be made perfect in one. Of course, we are in Jesus. Jesus is in us. What is left is that we are made what? Perfect in one. How does that thing come about? By having a kingdom revelation of teamwork, that the world may know that you have sent me. You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at Number 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.